Welcome to the Disability Podcast, the podcast where we talk about everything disability, from tips and tricks to gaining the most of your independence and therefore your freedom. Let's not waste any time and dive right into the Disability Podcast. Hello and welcome back to the Disability Podcast. Yes, new week, new room. I'm trying to find a nice place to record these, but this week I want to talk about something that's quite close to my heart, and that's sport and disability and the counter views that people have been, you know, talking about for quite a while recently. And for me, well, my relationship with sport started very young, when I was, well, as young as I can remember, and it's very interlinked with my relationship with my brother, because I always wanted to be better than him. Well, that was my motivation, not to be better, but to be as good as him. And he always motivated me to basically not let my disabilities be reasons as to why I couldn't do something. So all through primary school, secondary school, I pushed myself to be the best that I could be. And that was, you know, in primary school, played football, which I liked, but it wasn't, you know, sport that I really gelled on with. In secondary school and the end of primary school, I started playing cricket, and I do have a podcast on that, because that is the sport I still play, and I won't tell you all about that because you can re-listen to some of those podcasts. But this podcast, I'm really talking about the benefits that sport has on this, you know, life of a person with disability, especially because it doesn't just give you a way to exercise and feel better about yourself because, you know, you're being healthy, but it goes deeper than that. And I think it really is something that people don't look into and often overlook. I mean, for my example is, and the most relevant, I think we should start, is that it goes in tiers. So at the moment, some people feel quite, and I know this, I know a few people like this, some people feel quite isolated because, you know, they find it, there are barriers to entry when trying to do activities or sport or anything like this. And then, you know, so they go to less social events, and after their social events, they make less friends. And if they make less friends, they become more isolated. It's a big, you know, circular down the well sort of thing. And so the way that it breaks is, okay, you have an inclusive, it doesn't need to be that competitive at the beginning, just needs to be foundational, but you have a club or a space that you can play disabled sport in, or you can play the disability version of that sport. So there's loads of them. You've got, for cricket, for example, you've got blind cricket, you've got physical disability cricket, you've got neurological disabilities cricket, you've got, you know, the whole spectrum, and everyone has their place, and you know, you can cross between different abilities quite easily. But I come back to it when I say, if you have the club or the place that you can play that sport in a disability friendly session, that means accessibility, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but the accessibility has to be there. A place that where you can go, and then you find out, oh, I actually like this sport, I like this activity, so you continue to go. And then you realize, oh, there's other people that also like doing this sport and activity as well. So you make friends there. And once you make friends there, then you start going to socials. And once you go into the socials, that group grows bigger. And then that sort of think about it is the core of your spider web that goes into all different things in all your different lives, aspirations. So just from taking that one step and joining the sports club or doing your activity, have friends doing all sorts of things and can be all across the world, and it's very exciting and interesting, all because you make that one first step to join, to try something that you like. And I think from the other side, it's from the coaching side, you can show that anything is possible as well. So there's two sides of that. Now, from the sort of logistical side of it, which now I'm coming to the age where I think about these things, is there's a lot of, how I like to say, not false, but full, or not fake, but like they didn't even try, but it's technically there, disability friendly stuff. And I'm going to take the gym as an example of this because I do calisthenics. I've got another podcast about my calisthenics stuff. But if a gym says, when people think of getting fit, they think, okay, let me join the gym. But then if you're first starting out, and especially with someone with a disability, there's not many places that you could go. And I think as a total beginner, if you don't know what you're doing, feel comfortable. As an ordinary person, not especially if you're a disability person. And that leads on to two things. If you're an ordinary person, you can hire a personal trainer, an ordinary personal trainer, and go from there. Now, if you're a person with a disability, you sometimes, I often wouldn't have faith in an ordinary personal trainer to be able to cater and adjust different exercises so that they fit me and my specific circumstances. So there's your number one barrier to entry, is you want to get fit, you want to, start doing activities. But if you can't adjust something to meet what you need it to be, then that causes a friction point. I'm not saying that they can't be overcome. Of course, they can be overcome with even just determination, but there are little gaps which I think are easily plugged. They just need to be thought about from a different angle, really. So that's one of them. The other one I would say is really just access. And this can be seen for clubhouses and everything. Just access to the to be for the ability to be able to play the sport, right? Or activity. For wheelchair users, you have to have lifts and ramps. But if you have someone who's not in a wheelchair but just needs, assistance, then you need to make these adaptations. I mean, the easiest thing is put a lift and make a few ramps, but people don't think like that. But it's also, you need to make them wide enough and have places to hold on so people can, stabilize themselves, because it's not that people want to be helped. People want to be as independent as possible. People forget this. People will ask, most of the people that I know, including myself, I will ask for help if I need help. If I think I can do something alone, 99 out of 100, I want to do it alone, and I don't want people to assume that I need help, because majority of the time I'm not going to need that help. And then it just wastes everyone's time because I'm like, no, I don't need help. And then they're trying to help me, and it's a whole thing, and we don't want that. Basically, we all want to strive for that independence. And that independence is easily done with a small few adjustments. And I'm sure if you're listening to this, With a disability, you know exactly what adjustments you would need. And if you cover the few common denominators across the normal, not normal, normal is the wrong word, my bad, the most common disabilities or disability groups, then you'll find there's a lot of crossover that just needs to be implemented. And I don't think it would cost that much to do. So that's something that needs to be done, and I wish I could do it. It's something that I want to do. If I have the time and the resources, I will do it, because exercise and gym is something that I'm quite passionate about. But that's something that I think needs to be re-looked at, is the not pandering, but it's the we're disability friendly, but are we actually disability friendly? Because okay, if I have no experience at the gym, I go to your gym, is it safe for me? Are the And I have personal training. If there was a personal trainer there, is the personal trainer qualified? Is it safe for me to be there if I have no experience and I don't know how to alter exercises? You know, it's these simple things that you need to look at and be like, okay. So we hire someone, a personal trainer or a physiotherapist, that knows how to treat certain things, and then voila, they know what they're doing now. And it's also not just that. Gyms these days have become more wellness areas as well, spas, saunas, all of this stuff. Are they suitable for people with disabilities? Because it's not just me, I think everyone loves a little bit of a wellness day after they exercise. And so if you can make them accessible, I'm pretty sure you would want to make them accessible. So, and I don't think it would be that hard, honestly. But it just takes extra thinking. And people honestly don't like to put the thinking in. And that's my big takeaway for the day, that people don't. It's not that they take shortcuts. They don't take shortcuts. It's that they just don't see it from that point of view. So in order to solve a disability problem, or you want to make somewhere more accessible, you need to find someone with that disability and that passion for that activity. And then they will tell you exactly how they would adapt a certain situation to fix that area. And I think that is something that is genuinely needed in the mainstream, because they also forget something completely interesting as well. Now I think of it, it not only helps people with, you know, obvious disabilities or hidden disabilities, even everyday people will find it easier and more relaxed to do things if they know that, oh, this is done in this way because of this. And then they can take that and apply it to different situations as well. So that not only, so once you apply it in one area, you'll see it having benefit effects in other areas. And we're not talking about changing whole areas, but just small differences, small changes make a big difference. And that's what I've learned. Small changes make big differences. I think also it starts at school, and I'll be circling right back. It starts at school. If you prepare, if you give the skills, or you prepare them that they will need certain skills in the primary school and the secondary school, and I'm talking about mainstream schools here, not disability or special schools, or however you want to phrase them. And you'll probably realize that I don't really care on the phrasing of things, as long as I get my point across. But if you lay the foundations in the schools and in the universities, then from there you'll see that the ways of thinking and the solutions are much more easily accessible. So And that will also link into the workplace. People forget about the workplace. The workplace is very similar in design to a gym or a sports club or something, in the way that, you need access, you need, facilities, you need, well, yeah, you need access and facilities and, the ability to work. So either the ability to work or the ability to play the activity or sport that you're doing. So in those aspects, once you've applied the logic to one area, you can apply the logic to everything. Once you've applied the logic to everything, then you can see, okay, this is gonna work, this is not gonna work, this could work, but it might be too expensive. So then you have to make it into a special area. Fine, I understand that. Nothing can get done 100% in everywhere, because, well, businesses are businesses. Businesses need to make profit, otherwise there's no such thing as there is, otherwise it's not a business. So there you go. So I think it's just consultation. When building new places or when doing refurbishments, and you want to have access to a whole new demographic of people that you've overlooked. I mean, this is from the business perspective. People are overlooking a whole demographic of people, not because they want to, it's because they don't realize that they are there. And that's the main thing of this area. From If you give the people, if you help them get independence, it helps everyone. The businesses help because they get a new demographic. The person gets help because they increase their social group. Then they do other activities. Then they find out, oh, they can make loads of new friends. They get the job. Then they become even more independent, and so on and so on and so on. So I'm going to end this podcast on a great thing, that a little bit of adjustment and a little bit of help towards independence will mean everyone gets better. And that's something in this day and age is hard to come by, is that helping one person actually helps everyone in what they want, or what they need to be helped in, or what they want to be helped in, whether it's making more money, whether it's becoming more independent, whether it's socializing more, whether it's exposure, whether it's whatever you want to talk about. Doing this one thing helps all of that. So that is my tidbit for this week. If you want to discuss more of what I've said, it's all in the show notes. If you want to send us a message, if you want to come on a guest and have a discussion with me, it's in the show notes. It's all in the show notes, and I look forward to reading your comments. Thank you for coming along.
Thank you for listening to the Disability Podcast. I hope you found it entertaining and useful, and are looking forward to the next episode coming next Monday. Looking forward to seeing you there.